Hello and welcome to the S-Word Stuff segment. This is Stuff segment number 12. I'm Kevin Chu.
I'm Dominic Nguyen.
I'm Christopher Nguyen.
I'm Sung Lee.
All right, so this is, wow, number 12. And this time we're going with something a bit more personal. We're going with a list of our three geekiest moments, at least that we can remember or are willing to let you guys know about. So I'm pretty sure some of these are going to go pretty long, but we have Chris returning. Chris was in Japan for the past, I think, 2 weeks.
Yes.
So Chris, we're going to grill you a little bit about what you did over there.
Tool.
All right.
So you went to the Tool concert.
In Japan, right?
Then, oh, yes. Then you went to the massage parlor. So what else did you do?
The red light district in Shinjuku? No? No?
Nah. I did walk past it, but...
With your parents?
No. No. I don't think they would have liked that too much.
They would have liked that too,
no,
or they wouldn't have
liked like that too much.
I heard checking. Would have.
Yeah, same here.
I
Freudian
see.
Slip.
So what else did you do there? I mean,
it's mostly a lot of touring. This will have been my third time going. My dad and I went back in 1999, but not with my mom. So this trip was basically an opportunity to bring her along and kind of, you know, show her Japan also. So I did a lot of touring. I stayed, I was in Osaka touring Kyoto for about a week and then went to Tokyo to tour the Tokyo area and Hakone and some other places.
All right. A cultural trip.
Yeah.
Wow. So how many temples did you see?
Yeah, more.
Like 50?
Yeah, exactly.
Did you go to Kyoto and then look at more temples?
Did you look at the gold thing across the pond that just looks like the picture and you take a picture with it and you leave?
No, I did not see the penis festival, but yeah, the Kinkakuji, yeah, which Kevin's talking about. Yeah, I did see that.
Did you knit any sweaters for Buddha?
No, I didn't. No.
Have you ever seen that?
No,
it's
I have
something
not.
That's.
I Do they put it on the Buddha statue?
They put it on the Buddha statues. They make Buddha little knit hats for Buddha, knit sweaters for Buddha. It's kind of strange, and I think only Japan does it, right?
Haven't
you have
seen
no idea,
else.
Do you?
I don't know.
I haven't seen it anywhere else besides there. No.
All right. Thank you for your report. I did not realize it would be so cultural. Okay.
You want a nerdy report? Just talk to me sometime.
Okay. The nerd report starts now. Dom, one of your geekiest moments.
One of my three geekiest moments. All right. Number three is when I was patrolling the cosplay square at Comiket with friends of mine and who are Japanese cosplayers. And we just went around, you know, talking about these things and, you know, taking pictures of cosplayers, taking pictures with cosplayers, geeking out over other people's costumes. And there was one person there who was dressed as the mascot of the Chunichi Dragons, who's called Doala. And he is the ugliest looking koala you have ever seen. But everybody was geeking out over this guy. And, like, all of these costumed people were running up to me going, can I take a picture with you? Can I take a picture of you? Can I take a picture of you doing something horrible to me? It was really kind of weird seeing, you know, people dressed up as Cloud Strife walking up to this koala mouse thing in a baseball uniform and going, dude, can I hug you? But, you know, it was a general thing. Like, it was one of those costumes where the guy, once he put on his head, he was just mobbed by baseball fans everywhere.
So how hot was it for you underneath that costume?
Oh, very. No, it wasn't me. Thank God.
All right. What about you, Chris? I know you've been struggling with this list for a bit.
Yeah.
Man, this guy's not geeky enough. What?
Total mind fart.
So Tool Concert 22. I took off my shirt like I normally do at all the Tool concerts.
And then I
got out my pocket knife and carved Tool into my chest. It's not like this hasn't been done before because I just follow the grooves of the previous times I've done it.
Jesus Christ.
But this time when they peed on my body, it just didn't feel the same.
It stung.
Thank you, Chris. Wait, what?
Okay, Chris.
What's your real story, please?
Wow.
Give us a real one.
I don't know if I can follow that up.
Please. Try.
Recently, I got a Morgan figure from WonderCon at the Capcom booth. I guess that'd be kind of...
Is that like your only figurine?
Well, weren't you carrying that around for the entire day too?
I was all day, and then he brought it over here to have me fix something.
And then he brought it in the car to dinner.
Well, that's... I thought we were leaving straight after.
I believe not the getting the Morgan figure is your geekiest. I think it's you
carrying
bringing
it around
with you on a normal day.
It's a very nice figure.
I'm sure it was, but carrying it around is a little weird.
All right, Sung, you got to beat this guy, right?
I guess. Anyways, this is back when a certain magazine was still around, which was Animerica.
Oh, wow.
For those of you who don't remember that, it was a magazine that was published by Viz. And anyways, this is way back in high school. I don't even remember what year, but I actually submitted a fan art to them. It was a picture of Ranma. I don't remember what issue, but I still have the issue, actually.
How old were you?
Somewhere in high school.
Okay.
So in my teens. And they did publish it, and it's in there, and yeah, that was.
I think that is pretty geeky.
That is pretty geeky. You had
like
your
you
art
actually
published.
Got it in the magazine.
Yeah.
And I think I still have the original picture somewhere.
Cool.
I've never achieved anything like that.
What do you mean you've never achieved anything like that?
I'm just gonna curl up into a ball. Oh, wait, it's my turn.
Yes, it is.
Okay, this one
you
is...
You can't curl up into a ball
this
yet.
This one is... I decided, you know, I was trying to figure out a third one. I'm going to go a little bit light with my number three. And this one, none of you have heard this story before. The only person that knows it is Lita. One time I went to Target in the morning. It was like 8 a.m. I usually go there so I can pick up all the usual stuff I need, like shampoo, toilet paper, Ziploc bags, garbage bags, all that stuff, right? So I filled up my basket with all that stuff. I always turn into the toy section. And I did not know about this, but, you know, I collect Mighty Mugs. I have every single one that they've made at this point, including all the exclusives and everything. I didn't know there was a Target exclusive line, a whole wave of them that was just at Target. So my basket's full. And I'm not the kind of person that usually likes to, you know, use the cart. So I see brand new Star Wars Mighty Mugs that I've never seen before. I freak out and I, like, immediately go on my phone and like look online to see what these are because I have no idea. The other thing is I have too many of them that I don't know which ones I already own.
Right.
So some of them I was like, do I own this? It says only at Target with a sticker on it. And that's because they were extras that were packed in with that wave. So they all had the stickers. So eventually I just dumped out all the stuff I actually needed for real life. And I filled my basket with these Mighty Mugs and just took the essential things that I really needed. So I went with like a week without the usual shampoo that I need or things like that. I just use like some cheaper like hotel samples that I've had collected up in my bathroom for a while. But I got the entire wave of them, which was good because I like, you know, I need to have all of them. I can't just order them online because they're the Target store exclusives. So that's my number three.
Wow.
Nice. Wow.
That's number three.
Well, my number two is kind of bad. So. In my Japan trip over the summer, one of the things that I set aside time for was the Animelo concert in Japan, which, if you haven't heard of it, is the geekiest concert you can possibly go to. And so, I mean, the people who go there and sing are like, you know, Jam Project and Move, the people who did the initial D music. Let's see, Triple A, which did the Kamen Rider Denno music. The people who sang the Macross Frontier songs, you know, those are the kind of people who sing there. And so you can guess the kind of fans that it attracts. You know, if you've ever seen your stereotypical Japanese pop concert with the waves of people waving their single color of glow stick, that kind of thing. Yeah. So on day one, it was a 2-day concert. So on day one, I went, I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to be one of those guys. And then I looked around and went, this looks really fun. And I have tickets for day two. Okay, fine. And so I was having dinner with my friends that night, and they're like, oh yeah, you can just get glow sticks at any, like, any convenience store, 7-Eleven in Japan, so you might as well. It's like, okay. And so these were the guys that I was going to the second day of the concert with, and I got those tickets from them, and they're like, all right, let's go to the 7-Eleven. And we picked up glow sticks, and on day two, I open up these glow sticks and go, well, there's no going back now. And I think during, I can't remember who it was singing. I think it was the very first act of the day, and I have to go back and look at my notes. I never published the rant on this one on Megatokyo because of this reason, but I cracked those glow sticks and I became one of those big masses of glow stick waving Japanese concert fans. And I felt good about it because there was this guy in front of me who had a special edition glow stick holder that came with a certain concert series for these five voice actresses. Apparently, it was called Ice Five, and apparently it was one of those five-slotted holders where you stick in one glow stick for each member of the group with the color. And he was waving it around, like, yeah, yeah! He looked like Wolverine with glow sticks. And I was just like, at least I'm not that guy.
I was going to ask, did you become the guy that holds five glow sticks between his fingers?
No, I only had two.
Because that's the new freak. Before, when I saw these videos, I was like, okay, I don't know if I'd ever do that. And then I saw, yeah, the guy with the five.
Oh, you should.
And I was like, well, now the guys with one seem fine.
Not only that, there were the guys with the ones that looked, that were so bright, they looked like traffic, like air traffic controllers. And then they had these pink, you know, festival jackets, the Hoppy, with the various names of the people they were fans of on the back. It's like, oh my god, I'm so glad I'm not one of those people. I will never be one of those people. Maybe I will become one of those people. Please don't let me. Kevin, I'm having
not
you do this.
You.
No.
I want to see it.
All right, wait. I'll have to ask someone else then. If I ever become one of those people, I beg you, shoot me in the head. I'll try not to become one of them.
I'm sure Albert will do it.
Yeah. All right. So that's my number two. That's my number two.
All right, Chris. So I already got the story from you for this number two. It's Tool concert number 14.
No, stop. Please.
I went in the special Tool potty. What is it? Porta potty. And I let the drummer push the porta potty on the side, and I thanked him afterwards.
Isn't that an episode of? Wait, yeah, that's an episode of Jackass, isn't it?
Oh, that's where they got the story from. This was back in 1996, right? For their first tour after their first album, right?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what's your real story?
Wow.
You need to start interrupting Kevin during the middle of these things.
I guess number two, would be I have cosplayed before as Iori Yagami from the King of Fighters series.
Is this the guy that has his legs tied together?
Yes.
Doesn't he have red hair?
Yes.
Did you have red hair?
Yeah, I did dye my hair red.
You
actually.
Dyed your hair? You didn't put on a wig? Wow.
You didn't do that, like,
did you,
weird.
Did you have
ugly
the really big pompadour thing, like
no,
a foot in front of your head?
I tried to grow my hair out enough, but I couldn't grow it out enough. Like,
well, that's because he has anime hair. It goes out from his head like a baseball cap.
Yeah. I think this was for, like, Anime Expo 2000, I want to say 2000. It was before I met you guys. I think it was 2002.
Oh, so the pictures are still out there somewhere.
Yeah.
Well, there's pictures of me cosplaying everywhere. I mean, yeah. I'm not embarrassed of them.
Well,
heck, I've cosplayed as Kyo.
Of him.
We could have fought. It would have been pretty dorky if we'd fought.
Oh, man.
In cosplay? Oh, baby.
There's a lot of those pictures around where, like, just people who are...
just being dorks.
Yeah.
It's awesome, though. I mean, it's so much fun.
It was pretty fun.
I mean, one of my favorite pictures of all time was I went to one of those things where King of Fighters cosplayers got together, and they had so many Terrys, they did frame-by-frame power wave. It was just this... It was like this this slide capture of Terry Bogard's, which was funny because the last one was black. He suddenly turned black to do power wave. Oh, wait, sorry, it was the Super version, so it was Power Geezer.
Nice.
All right, Sung, number two?
My number two is Kevin can actually claim the same thing, which is being president of Kalanmaj Alpha.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I did that.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know, that is the anime club for UC Berkeley. I was president for actually a few years.
Yes.
You
were our president.
You were the FDR of Cal Animage.
Yeah, you were the president for like 2 or 3 years, right, weren't you?
Yeah, I was
you
in that club
president.
for quite a while,
yeah.
Actually, because I stayed in Berkeley for longer than I should have.
Kept the club alive.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. I mean, back when I was president, I was mainly just like three people doing all the work.
Let's see, it was Sung. It was
Eric
Young.
There? Oh no, it was Young. I remember.
Yeah,
that
this is before Eric's time.
Yeah, it was Sung, Young, and who else? It was.
It depends on which era exactly that was.
And then there was a time when it was basically you, Eric, and Danny. Was it?
Danny didn't really do much.
That's right.
He would just be in the membership booth and just do membership, and that's all he would want to do.
Oh, okay.
Danny agrees.
Well, yeah.
So what did you do as president of Cal Animage Alpha?
The primary thing I did was reserving the rooms for the showings. And back when I was president, you actually had to rent our projector from the school, so... you had to, raise money first of all, and then we had to pay for rental, and then eventually we actually bought our own projector, which Kevin used a lot.
Yeah, and then I also bought the replacement of that projector, and apparently they have a new one now.
Oh boy! All right then, that's year number two, being the president of an anime club
and getting a projector.
All right, Kevin, what's your number two?
My number two, I'm going to have to say, I share this moment with Dom. It is not a moment we look back on with great pride. We did for about a year. And then the second year, not so much. This is the Wii overnight release. We waited Saturday night at the San Mateo Target outside. I think I was number one and you were number two in line. And we waited all night until like 8 a.m. the next day. And it is cold out there.
It is.
In San Mateo.
Although, this is the thing, is that it was not as cold as when I waited for the GameCube. You
That's
know this story,
true.
Right?
Yeah.
Where I was on the Virginia coast in November. That wasn't a very smart decision on my part. But yeah, it was still pretty cold over there in San Mateo at Bridgepoint.
So, the main thing that I want to say is that I sacrificed one of my one rules in order to wait out there to get a Wii. So I needed to pee really badly. Actually, no, I take that back. I needed to wee really badly. And it was 3 a.m. There's, the Starbucks is not going to open for another 3 hours. I really just need to just go pee. So I ran out into the middle of the dark parking lot, found those little bush separators for the parking lot. And I was like, okay, there hasn't been a car coming in for at least 5 minutes. So if I just pee here, I can be done, run back, I'll be fine. I start peeing. And as guys, we all know that once you start peeing, you can't really just stop. If you do, it's going to hurt and it's just going to come out anyways.
Yes.
So you got to keep peeing. It didn't seem to ever end, the peeing. And eventually I did see a car off in the distance, like driving into the parking lot. And I was like, oh God, because the only cars we had seen previously driving into the parking lot were police officers. So I said, oh God, I'm going to be number one in line for the Wii. They're going to put me in prison for peeing in public. I finished it up, ran in like different loops through the parking lot in the dark until I got back to the Target front of the line. And I was like, Dom, you have no idea what I just did out there. It felt great, but man, I think you've been out there for like a couple minutes. It's like, I was. That's the part I remember the most. The rest of it was fine. It was fun.
I remember the look on your face.
It was a casual. Yeah, and that's the only time in my life I've peed in a very public place. I mean, yeah, when you go camping, you gotta pee somewhere sometimes, right? But not like in a parking lot
with a car
at Target. So that's two Target stories. What if number three is also Target-based? It's not. Anyways, Dom, your number one geekiest moment.
My number one is Jeopardy-based. It's a story I haven't told anybody, but, well, I think you were there for this one.
I was there, yeah.
And yes, so they mic you up for... there's two stories that I consider my geekiest involving Jeopardy. They're both equally geeky, I think. There's two stories involving Jeopardy that I consider to be part of the same story. So, among other things, backstage at the Jeopardy set, they were putting makeup on me, and they were, making sure that it matched my skin tone. And I was joking, I was like, yeah, I went to a stage store once, and what matched my skin tone the most was this thing called Death Flesh. And the makeup artist stared at me, and she went, no. No, come here. This is what your skin tone is like. And it's like, okay, fine. And Then I went out there. Eventually, they picked my number to be on Jeopardy, and I was nervous as hell up there. And the first thing that they say to me over the headset that they give you was, count down from four. It's like, okay, 4, 3, 2, 1. Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling Tommy. And I did that on the Jeopardy set because I was nervous as hell up there, and it was the only thing I could think of to do to make at least myself laugh. And then I looked out into the audience and I went, oh yeah, my mom's out there. And my cousins and my sister. Oh God.
I was there too.
Yes. And so I burst into song on the Jeopardy set. And then the Jeopardy episode happened. We went home. And then I washed my face, and I'm like, oh my God, my face is coming off as I was washing my face. Because there's this sudden run of really thick water that looks like my face. And I'm like, oh, right, it's makeup. They put makeup on me, because I've never had makeup on before, and I haven't had makeup on since. So when I was washing my face, I was like, oh my God, it's coming off. Now what? What do I do? And those two stories combined are my geekiest story in my life.
Well, Chris.
Wow.
His number one's going to be, I joined this club called Cal Anamosh Alpha.
One day I joined this podcast.
There's my geek story right there. Actually, no, I just remember this. There's actually one other time I cosplayed for, I think it was during Fanime.
Sometime or other.
Yeah.
You don't have to name a year.
Yeah, okay. So, it was, I forget what character it was, but it was one of the Miko's, like, the red. Well, she had a red.
You dressed like a girl?
You dressed like a girl?
Yes.
Yes!
Well, I was trying to get my friend the cosplay, but he was nervous as hell, so like.
So you dressed up as a woman for him?
Well, my other friend had a costume of this Miko costume. He's like, okay, I'll do this. So then, you know, make him feel a little better. He actually never ended up doing it just because he chickened out.
So you had the red hakama, you had the white kimono top.
Yeah. I didn't have the hair, but, and I had even had a bow too.
You had a bow? Wow. Even I've never done that one.
And yeah, and some random girl glomped me afterwards. That was
pretty. Was that worth it?
Yeah, sure.
Let's just say sure. Wow, you've dressed up as a woman for and not because a woman asked you to.
I'm sorry I didn't dress up with you.
So I guess that wasn't me, right?
That definitely counts.
That definitely counts. You cross-played, sir. Good job. Hands off. Oh, sorry, hats off.
Hands off. Wrong words. There's our title.
Hands off or wrong words?
Hands off.
Hats off to you, sir.
Where's your hand?
I want to touch Chris. Dumb's touching podcasts.
Oh, who's hung?
Me too.
Andy can't hear you. He's had his headphones on.
All right, Sung, what's your number one? Bare your soul to us.
All right. My number one is the one and only time I ever cosplayed, which was back sophomore year of high school. I don't know what year that was. Somewhere in the 90s. Anyways, there's actually kind of two parts to it, which was I guess it was an English teacher. She had this thing where, like, she said, like, I can make a video of you with your outfit or whatever and story. And it was supposed to be, like, only a couple minutes long. And so I did it for, I did a Ranma thing. And I kind of, it was a video of Ranma fighting Moose, basically. If you've ever seen Ranma, there's a particular fight. There's like one of the first fights they had, and that's what I did with a friend of mine. So
you reenacted an entire Ranma fight scene. Wow,
that's dang.
Yeah, it was really stupid because basically the camera moves a lot in that scene, and so it just looked like a blur. Anyways, so on Halloween I dressed up. As it was kind of a combination of Ranma and Ryoga, although it was more technically Ryoga, I guess, with the the gi and the armbands and leg bands.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the only time I cosplayed. And this is in a high school that was in Southern California that's kind of in the middle of nowhere. And no one had really seen anime, and I just realized how stupid it was. so that's why I just never wanted to cosplay ever again.
It's so strange that I've cosplayed so many times, and I'm not really embarrassed of it. The one I'm embarrassed of is running around watching people fondle a baseball mascot in a cosplay area. What does that say about me, Kevin?
Did you just realize you said fondle a baseball mascot in a cosplay area?
Yeah.
Were they fondling his balls?
No.
Thank you for getting straight to the point.
All right, Kevin. Number one, we've bared our souls to you. You bared your pants in a parking lot.
Just my fly. It's not like I did a number two.
What the fuck?
That would be pretty funny, though.
All right. Sung was there with me.
Was it a Target?
No. This is my non-Target geeky story.
Good.
San Diego Comic-Con, first one I've ever been to, there was a Star Wars panel. And, you know, during that time, they were, you know, talking about these other Star Wars movies, apparently supposed Star Wars movies that were coming out. And, you know, it's the first time I've ever seen one of those big Star Wars panels at Comic-Con. Well, this was also the same panel where at the very end they finally revealed the title of the supposed third Star Wars new movie. And even as much as I did not feel like the first two existed, I still got kind of pumped. And when they finally revealed the title, supposedly the title was Revenge of the Sith, I freaked out. I got out of my chair with all the other people in the room. And I was like, oh my god! And Sung was there sitting down playing a cell phone game. And I was like, oh my god. And then they showed Steve Sansweet wearing the shirt that said Revenge of the Sith on it. And all of us Star Wars nerds piled out to go buy one, including me, and call everyone we knew and tell them the title of the new supposed Star Wars movie.
Which never happened. It was never released.
It never happened, so at least that was good. For some reason, I have a shirt about a movie that never happened. That is my geekiest moment.
Wow.
And, you know, it's just how much I love Star Wars and the fact that even for something that I was betrayed for twice, I could still get excited a third time. You know how much of a bitch I was to that franchise.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember you trying to explain to me the meaning of the name and why it was so cool. I was like, that's nice.
Because, don't you get it? It's a reflection of episode 6, Return of the Jedi. Oh my god! Was that you, Kevin?
Kind of. That's the one thing I will truly get. I was the most fanatical about was just Star Wars.
Wow.
I still, you know, even now I still bother Lita with stuff about Star Wars.
Yeah, and every comic show, like whenever I go with you, you're like, you had to get there. The very beginning you had to line up in for the dealer's room, and then you just go to booth, like going for the special limited edition items that they only sell there.
But you never bought that Stormtrooper helmet.
No, I don't buy stuff like that. I buy junkier crap. No, but I
thought about that Rocketeer helmet really hard that one year, though. It's like, the Rocketeer.
At every, like, WonderCon or Comic-Con, I do that whole thing about, you know, the nerds going for their special limited edition items that you cannot get anywhere else. Yeah. But
how much was that Rocketeer helmet anyway?
$300. You could see through the eyes.
You could see through the eyes. Yeah.
But you could also have other people see your eyes underneath them.
Yes.
Oh.
All right. So that is our top three geekiest moments. Take a quick break and we'll come back with your emails. Oh, and also I forgot to say that we are going to announce the winner of our Australia contest. So stick around for that.
Yeah.
All right, so we are back with our Australia contest. This is a contest that we created
on the spur of the moment,
on the fly during the Jason Statham episode,
when I was just being so insulting for no good reason.
We actually got an email about Australians saying, like, why do you pick on us? And we don't. It's just you guys write in a lot, so we figured we'd feature Australia a lot. The only person you should really have a beef with is Dom.
Yeah, seriously. I'm so racist against Australians.
Oh, my God. Okay, we're going on. So this Australia contest, all you had to do was write in a story about either how you actually became an Australian or how you fake became an Australian. And we have our three judges. That will be Dom, Sung, and Chris. I'll be reading off the stories to them. They have not heard these stories before, so I will begin. Entry number one. I was exiled to Australia for committing a truly heinous crime. I claimed that 6 Star Wars movies existed, as well as a 4th movie for Indiana Jones and Die Hard, and several other such movies. Apparently that don't exist. Initially, I was given warnings on multiple occasions, and after a while, though, they forced me into several years of therapy to resolve the matter. However, my delusions eventually caused those working at the asylum to lose their minds and believe those movies existed as well. I was arrested and, on the grounds of criminally insane with malicious intent, sent to Australia, where I could be as crazy as I wanted for the rest of my life, provided I knew how to play the game of Knifey Spoonie.
Started out pretty strong, but then it got a little weird.
Yeah.
With that whole, like, Joker in Arkham Asylum thing going for it. I don't know about that. It's a candidate. It's up there, but you went on a little too long there. You gotta quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, more or less.
Okay, entry number 2. Once upon a time, 2 guys decided to make a podcast with their friends. They soon offered a contest for doing something crazy. To win, I decided I would swim to Australia, and that would win me the prize. So I swim there and win the contest.
That's it?
They decided that I couldn't receive the prize, and they were going to give it to someone else. Now the Australian government won't let me swim back, and I am stuck here forever. Oh no, dot, 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 dot.
What?
Yeah, WTF.
What the hell?
No, it's WTP. For what the fuck.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
Purveyors of fine Vietnamese noodles on wheels.
All right, we're going to go to entry number 3. I actually don't have a fake convict story for you, but I thought it might be a point of interest for you guys that I am actually descended from a convict who arrived in Australia in 1835. It's pretty much 174 years to the day. He was a merchant sailor who was tried and found guilty for stealing grain in the country of Kent in England. So there you are.
Wow, that's actually a real story.
Yeah, that's actually
that's shooting up to the top.
Yeah.
Someone has a real Australian convict story.
Are supposedly real, we can't verify, so.
That's true.
Yeah. All right, we have entry number 4. Back in 1883, a magical mech fell in a random town in the USA. Due to the extreme alien radiation, all the residents were transported to Australia land.
What?
When they realized they had been scammed, for they were not actually in Australia, they brought the aliens to court. Unfortunately, they lost and were sentenced to 9,000 years of being Australian as punishment. Now in the 21st century, the people are still suffering. Recently, the punishment was reduced by several thousand years, so it is now under 9,000. Also lolcats. The townspeople still don't know what the hell was in that mech either.
What is wrong hell, with you
that,
people?
That story was.
Whoa.
What is wrong with you people?
Our audience has a very fertile imagination.
Okay.
Please make sense, people.
Entry number 5. How I came to be an Australian is a tale fraught with adventure. See, I was a cowboy living in America, had made sort of a name for myself as a long-distance sharpshooter. I answered an ad for men of such talent to travel down under and help a rancher remove some pesky vermin from his land. I arrived by boat, a long trip, let me tell you, and was greeted by a Mr. Elliot Martson, who between you and me looks like the potions guy from Harry Potter. So Mr. Martson sets about telling me that the vermin he looks to have removed aren't coyotes or koalas or whatever they have here, but Indians. Well, they are darker than the ones back home, but they are pretty much the same. Well, I refuse Mr. Marston, and so him and his men knock me out and leave me in the middle of the outback with no food, no water, and my only companionship is a crazy hooker they threw out too. She keeps mistaking me for her ex-husband or something. To make a long story short, I seek my revenge against Marston and his men picking them off one by one until I settled the matter in an old-fashioned draw down with Marston himself. Then darn if I don't wind up making a living here with that crazy hooker as my woman. Thanks for listening to my tale, Jared Matthew Quigley.
Oh,
I believe he actually just took the story from Quigley Down Under.
Yeah, I was going to say that. even though I never heard of that movie, it just sounded like he just ripped off some movie.
Well, all right then.
All right, so judges, do you guys have a winner in mind right now?
I think the one that sounds the most real, where someone is descended from a merchant sailor who stole grain, is my winner. What do you guys think?
I agree.
I would have to agree. Yeah.
With the close second being the plot of Quigley Down Under.
All right, so that winner is Mr. Ken, who actually also wrote us a regular email to go along with his story. We'll be reading that in the mailbag pretty soon. Ken, you are the first winner of the random contest list, so we're going to put that up on the site. You'll be number one, and we'll talk about how on earth I'm supposed to get pins over to Australia. We'll figure that out sometime in the future.
Oh, crap, he's a real Australian.
I know.
We're in trouble now.
But, hey, there you go. You got to figure that a winner of the Tell Us the Story of How You're an Australian comes from an Australian.
Well, there you go.
I should mention that a good friend of mine from junior high school, his dad was actually Australian ambassador for Korea.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
He was really nice. And he moved back to Australia, so.
All right, Ken, so you are the winner this week, and we'll figure out what to do with the furthest contest. Don't forget that these random contests will pop up anytime we feel like them.
Pretty much.
And we'll figure out what we're going to be doing, prizes and listing out winners. Thanks to all those that entered. Let's go straight into the mailbag. So we have a first email from Chris. Dom, would you like to read this one? This is not from the Chris we know here.
Yeah, it doesn't mention Tool at all. All right, hey guys, love your show, been listening since the first episode. Here are some suggestions for the hell of it. Steven Spielberg Presents.
Well, we're going to be talking about Steven Spielberg and Saturday morning cartoons. I think both of those are covered there.
Were Steven Spielberg Presents like Amazing Stories?
Amazing Stories,
Amazing Stories
is a good
counts
choice.
Too, that's right.
Yeah, but I think he was
specifically
more like
looking
Animaniacs.
For Animaniacs, Freakazoid, and Tiny Toon Adventures.
Yeah, so those are all going to be split out in different places. Oh, I love Steven Spielberg Presents Amazing Stories.
Yeah.
I forgot about those, yeah. Let's see here. The Sandman?
I don't know enough. I feel terrible for not reading all of it.
I can give you all of the absolutes. They might crush you under their weight, but I can give you the absolutes.
That was one of those comics I never read as a kid, but had around the house.
It's one of those things where if you have it around the house as a kid, it can mess you up.
That was the Neil Gaiman, right?
Neil Gaiman.
Yeah, it's a very really strange art style.
Well, it changes every volume. But anyway, let's see here. Samuel Beckett, the guy who wrote Waiting for Godot. Okay. Yeah, blank looks from everybody who didn't get an English degree.
No.
Two plus two is four.
here's an interesting one that didn't actually make the contest. I became an Australian by greenlighting Twilight. I am so very, very sorry. Keep up the good work, he says.
What? I don't get that.
The movie Twilight?
Yeah.
He said he greenlit it.
So. Oh, I got you now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess that's why I didn't make it into the contest. All right, thanks, Chris.
I'm terrible. Thank you, Chris, though. All right, so I think Matt has just a list for us. I think we've
covered
noted most of these.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a long shot here, but how about Scryde, which you talk about? Samurai Champloo.
We haven't
Sunrise?
Talked about that.
Is that Sunrise?
Was it Sunrise?
No, that's not Sunrise. What am I talking about?
Survival horror we already talked about. Shakugan no Shana?
Looking
I have no
at
idea
you,
what
Dom.
That is.
It is a popular series of light novels that got turned into an anime and has the character designs by the same person who did Haruhi.
What is it about?
It's about this guy who dies and comes back as a like ghost puppet thing to fight these things that eat ghosts. Yeah, you really shouldn't really care.
All right, another one I don't know, which is Spice and Wolf.
Looking it's for furries. Down. Moving
okay.
on.
Okay.
It is for furries, trust me. Just move on.
Then this one looks like a reference to Death Note, which is Shinigami.
Yeah. I don't know about Death Note. I mean, Death Note was interesting for the first ending, until the first ending. But I don't know about that. Oh, sorry. Danny is saying that there's only one ending to Death Note. And you know, the one that they was supposed to have until they... Just like, what is it? The end of Frieza Saga? Where Dragon Ball was supposed to end?
Yeah, it's supposed to end a lot of times.
Yeah. It's like, all right, we're done. Crap, it's making money still.
I should ask this to Kevin, because I'm wondering why it's not on there yet, which is Kevin Smith.
Yeah, I don't know why either.
Yeah, okay. Why isn't it on there, Kevin?
Because
he hasn't made a movie in since Zack and Miri?
Yeah, we'll talk about Kevin Smith at length. Trust me.
At some point.
All right, so I'll take this one from Robert C. He says, I have to say I've not laughed so much in a long time, so thank you. The only other reason I'm going to email you is to flex my comic book muscles and remind you there was a British counterpart to Captain America, Union Jack.
Really?
And now I feel stupid because I know Union Jack, and I was like, oh, dang, we got schooled.
Well, so there is a Captain Britain.
Yeah, but I was like, oh, I didn't think about Union Jack because Jason Statham would be awesome as Union Jack. All right, so Robert.
We're getting schooled here.
You schooled us. If Mike was here, he would have reminded us, I'm sure. Though if my memory serves, he has no powers or serums to help him. In that respect, he's more like Batman. He uses his wits and tools and fighting skills. In addition to the World War I and World War II setting, I agree that Jason Statham would make a good Union Jack. My only issue would be who would write, direct, and produce the movie. I would be very leery about them to try to change the time frame from World War II or World War I even and make it modern. My biggest worry is that it would be like V for Vendetta, which wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't what I was looking for in a film adaptation of the book. So he says, again, thank you for the laughs, and everyone puts in a good show. He sent us a second email after the mailbag segment. Actually, I'm sorry, the stuff segment. He's talking about the fact that he's sorry, there's not just two Captain America movies. There's apparently five.
What?
And there's even one from the 1940s. So the one he was referring to was the 1979 movie. The one I think we know is the 1990s one.
Oh, so terrible.
Anyways.
Yeah, I'm aware of the 1970s ones.
Oh, okay.
Actually, I should ask this, although this is not really the podcast for it. But I was looking on Wikipedia about the whole Weapon X story. Just to do a little research.
Okay.
And it mentioned at one point that Captain America was part of the Weapon X program.
There's some sort of crossover with like the super soldiers. There's like, some government. It's all experiments by the government. But there's, some sort of thing there between the two.
Every time that a new comic flashes back, then they change it some.
Yeah.
And so, it was probably something they added in. It's like, oh, yeah, it was part of the same thing as Weapon X. Yeah, Super Soldier Prot. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Bucky's alive.
I would like to clarify that Dom said Bucky is alive. You did not hear him say something else. Okay, Chris.
Hands off.
Chris, why don't you tell us, share with us the email from Luke.
All right. Luke says, "Hey, S-Words team, you're Jason Statham.
Statham.
Oops. You're Jason Statham.
I cast me out.
Embarrassed me in public, and I thank you for it. It was by far the most enjoyable train ride ever. I felt it necessary to head straight to my campus's library and tell you so. I'm re-listening to the podcast as I type this. I'd also like to bring up the recent jokes about Australians. Why?" Do you wish to alienate us? Is this a conspiracy of podcast creators' union to banish Australians from the internet by mocking their history? If you could just set this straight for me, it'd be much appreciated.
Well, I think only Dom speaks about Australians in a negative light. I love you, Australian listeners.
Yeah.
I wish you'd bring more. Bring more.
Get more Australian listeners. The more Australian listeners there are, the fewer racial epithets that I will throw against the Australian people.
Isn't the Rollerblader 2 being filmed there?
Oh, Wolverine was filmed there. Wait, what Wolverine movie? Okay.
Yeah, so here's the thing is that you have to remember that one of the things that makes this podcast actually fun and also causes so many insults thrown at the Australian people is because there is no filter between my brain and my mouth. None. It just comes out there.
Dom uncensored.
Well, no, I'm pretty censored. It's just I just don't think about what I'm about to say. I never think about what I'm about to say. That's why I'm here where I am today.
Yeah, it's okay. At least there's not too many French listeners. We'd start making that wall joke all the time.
Yeah.
What wall joke? What? No. Anyways, we do not mean to insult any Australians. I think it's just Dom pulling a joke, and it's just in light heart, and we apologize if any of it comes off a bit too anti-Australian. All right. So Paul writes in. He says, I'll take this one. He says, hello, dudes and dudettes. Yes, I'm that old. Your podcast reminds me of the mostly hilarious discussions I had during my time at college with my friends, watching movies and going on long and mostly off-topic random rants and raves about geeky stuff until the crack of dawn. Our topics were, of course, a little different. Back then, we would talk about, like, the new Terminator movie, which was T2, Tremors, Silence of the Lambs, Reservoir Dogs, The Usual Suspects, and awesome laser discs. Stop your giggling, youngins. I said I was old, damn it, and get off my lawn.
I actually still have a couple of laser discs. But
I love laser discs. I love, like, the huge cover art. Like, I like LPs.
I do like the huge cover art. I just hate the fact that they didn't last more than, like, 3 years because they were so badly made.
The most exposure I had with LaserDisc was my parents actually bought it because it's the ultimate karaoke machine.
Karaoke, right? Yeah. Day.
And so, yeah, we had a lot of Korean LaserDiscs.
He writes in, he continues with, anyways, your podcast gave me a short respite from the tedium of working in an office and takes me back to the good old days where everyone was a pop culture connoisseur, a.k.a. geek. And he says, you made me watch Crank, and I liked it. You bastards.
You're welcome.
Additional S words for the scraps pile. San Francisco. You guys live around those parts, right? He actually followed up saying, of course you live in San Francisco. That's where the mobile truck drives around in. Warren Spector. I would love to actually that one. And who is Sergei Lukyanenko?
I have zero clue.
Me neither. No idea.
Spider Jerusalem.
Ooh, Transmetropolitan. Yeah. I'm a big fan of that one.
Huge fan here, too. Shimoku Kyo?
The guy who drew Genshi Ken.
Oh, okay. Masamune Shiro, which we've had people talk to us about before, and Sacrilege, as in failed adaptations, extensions of loved concepts, apparently some Star Wars prequel movies.
Man, that would be sacrilege if it happened.
Oh, wait, he says, but at least that last one kind of gets worked into every episode anyways.
Not that we're bitter or anything.
It's like, I was thinking, like, how can you talk about something you don't remember or never happened?
He finalizes, thank you for keeping me entertained. This is Paul from Oslo, Norway.
Wow.
So now I know one of you Norwegian listeners, because I know you guys are still listening. You are at 2%. You guys are catching up with Sweden at 2.5%.
Norway versus Sweden. This could be a match for the ages.
All right, Dom. All right. Bring us Jared.
Says, hello, guys. I've just finished all of your podcasts. Great jobs, by the way. Here's a suggestion I hope you might like. Say no to drugs. All of those weird ads and from the 80s and 90s. Your thoughts on them and whether or not you think they worked. This could also become a part of the Saturday morning cartoons topic.
Yep. That's what I was thinking, too.
Honestly,
those public service messages?
Yeah, with, like, the cartoon dogs and... Yeah.
Or this is your brain.
All the cartoons that obviously were created while high, or the anti-drug messages in them, all culminating into the best special ever, the Saturday Morning All-Star Show. You know, the one where Alvin, Papa Smurf, and Michelangelo try to help a little girl get her brother off of the Mary Jane. Keep up the good work, and looking forward to the Snicked podcast.
Wow, that's a little more epic than we usually think.
Wow. Saturday morning cartoons leading into Say No to Drugs. What do you think?
Yeah, we'll do it. Saturday morning cartoons will be a very, very long episode.
It will be. We like the long ones, though.
I know.
Hands
and
off.
Jared says, P.S. Taint needle, taint needle, taint needle. I just wanted the tag cloud to get bigger.
Thanks, Jared. I was trying to leave that one out. Thanks, Kevin.
What?
All right, let's go with Uncle Jesse from Full House.
Yeah, Uncle Son, can you read this one from Uncle Jesse?
I would like to suggest spirits. You could talk about your top 5 alcoholic beverages. Oh,
that I don't think will work with some people here. I have a top 5.
I have a top 5.
Okay, then there we go. Right, Chris, you got one too.
Of course, you must realize that I drink like Marshall from How I Met Your Mother. It's like, oh, those delicious fruity drinks.
I do that too, but
yeah,
only very, very, very rarely. All right, Kevin Smith would be interesting too. I actually just mentioned that. I can't wait for the SNES episode. The Legend of Zelda, A Link to the Past is my favorite game of all time.
Okay, so Sung was getting on my case just earlier saying, hey, how come there's no Kevin Smith on the list? And I said, oh yeah, no, it's going there. I forgot. We'll do it for sure.
All right, the next one's a long one. Kevin, would you take care of it?
Oh, you know Chris loves the long ones. No, it's okay. This one is from Jeff. He says, just wondering if some S-words will be brought up more than once. For example, the Super Bowl comes up annually, and I guess Spider-Man 4 is in production. There's also a chance that the disappearance of Suzumiya Haruhi will finally see the light of day, and Kevin may take another week off. I'm not
Dude,
saying...
it's been like 2 years since the last novel, and it's going to be another year to the next one. It's not... the series is over, people. Over.
I thought you were going to say that. It's been 2 weeks since the last... about
it's been two weeks since I was gone.
It's been 2 weeks since Kevin was gone, too. That's true.
He says, I'm not saying that there should be an entire show devoted to the Super Bowl or any others, but maybe a quick and dirty stuff segment about recurring topics. Is that out of the question? Jeff from Syracuse, New York.
It is.
We've actually talked about this before.
We're going to do the Super Bowl once a year, I think, aren't we?
Yeah, except it's probably just going to be more off-topic each time.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, that's the Super Bowl. If you've ever gotten enough people in one place to watch the Super Bowl, you know that only, like, half of the time is spent watching the Super Bowl, if that. The rest is just having fun, shouting at commercials, and drinking.
Yep. And for Spider-Man, Spider-Man 4 is in production. I know that.
Are we actually optimistic about that?
I would probably just put in a top list for the stuff segment about Spider-Man the week before, or something like that.
Okay.
All right, this last one comes from Laura. No, not the last one. This one comes in from Laura. Why don't you take it away, Chris?
All right, Laura says, hello, Kevin, Dom, and the guest host. Just listen to stuff number 11, Mad Cakes, and now I really want some Fail Cakes, my version of pancakes. Embarrassingly enough, I actually thought Kevin was white from the way he sounded like my RL community. Dom also sounds slightly white, but I knew better.
Wait, Kevin's
not
white?
I don't sound white.
How do you sound white?
I had a discussion with this with Lita last night after reading this email, and she said, no, you totally sound white. And I'm like, no, I don't think I sound too white. And she came up with this theory. You sound more white if you don't know your native tongue.
Huh.
And then I thought to myself, I think I'm the only one I know that doesn't know Chinese.
Well, I don't know Vietnamese, so.
I know Vietnamese. Yeah.
You sound white, sir.
Yes, I probably do sound white.
It's called the Twinkie effect.
Yes.
Or the banana, or
anything
other.
That is yellow on the outside, white on the inside. Yes.
Yes.
It comes up a lot when you're, when you're growing up in suburbia and you have a lot of cultural identity issues. Like, you know, you have all those people who want to be Asian and you start calling them eggs. Or what else is there that was other than eggs? I think it was just eggs,
wasn't
it? Yeah,
I think
it
was just eggs, yeah. Yeah.
That was white on the outside, yellow on the inside.
Yeah.
That happens a lot in college.
Yeah.
When people discover their
inner Asian-ness.
Yeah.
They start only wanting to do Asian things or eat just Asian food and all that.
Just do Asian people.
Yes.
Okay.
All right,
with the email. I have to cut some of this out.
She continues to say, I have a suggestion for a new section of the site or the podcast. What about shout-outs, a different word for feedback, polls in the sidebar, or even a chat room for fans of the show, perhaps?
I don't know. That's a lot of work for me.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, actually, there are some standard shout boxes that you can just throw in there, but
sure.
But the thing is that I don't know if they actually contribute anything, you know?
Or maybe, you know, it's like a forum or something.
Yeah, I was thinking of just being lazy and making Facebook do it, but that's too hard.
Yeah, and people have to be registered to Facebook.
I'll get to it. Damn you guys.
Let's have an S-Words forum, oh baby. Let's make a quick and ugly PHP BB, oh boy.
Nice. Thanks for the entertainment, and please keep up the good work.
Well, you got me to have to work on more stuff on the site. So congratulations.
Yeah.
Damn you all. All right. I'll close. Oh, I got another one from Heather. She says, hey, y'all. I just listened to your latest stuff segment. As a girl who watches the X-Men cartoons, I would rank Gambit high on my top X-Men list.
Yep.
However, I am an avid comic book reader, and my favorite X-Men character is Domino.
Which one's Domino?
Mike, which one's Domino?
Keira Knightley.
She was created by Rob Liefeld. Never mind.
I like Keira Knightley's Domino.
That's not the same thing. Okay. I want to point out that Forge is Native American, not black.
Oh.
Oops.
That's okay. I made a mistake last week, too, because she also says that Colossus is gay in the Ultimate X-Men, but Nightcrawler's not gay. He's actually more uncomfortable around Colossus because of it. Colossus is actually dating Northstar, which makes sense. So nerd points down for the both of us.
Wait, Colossus is gay?
In Ultimate.
In Ultimate.
Whoa.
Anyways, she also recalls that Beast didn't turn blue because of his secondary mutation, but because he was doing genetic research and experimented on himself. This caused him to turn gray before he eventually turned blue. I'm not sure about the details of this because it happened way before I was born, and I remember it more as a part of Mini Marvels. I actually like that comic.
Yeah, actually,
I have a sketch from the artist, and she says continue to make entertaining shows. Well, this just continues to go along with my theory that any girl that watched the animated X-Men cartoon series loves Gambit.
I'm not surprised at all.
All right, round us out with the last one.
Alice says, hi, my name's Alice, and I'm a court reporting student. I'm always looking for interesting ways to practice, so I thought maybe I'd try and do a transcript for the podcast. Feel free to post it on the website if you want. You should probably fill in Danny's last name in there before you do, though, because I couldn't find how to spell it. I also apologize in advance if I got some of the speaker identifications wrong. It took me a while to be able to identify the voices. Thank God for Lita being the only girl there, but I think I had it figured out by the end. Let me know if you have any questions or comments or requests.
Thank you, Alice. This was actually really cool. It was a full transcript of the first episode.
Wow.
And I was going through and I was like, hey, we actually did say exactly this way. This is how I speak. This is how I talk. So thank you, Alice. It's been very good. I think we'll post it. I'll put it up next in the...
I'm looking forward to it, yeah.
I'll put it on the episodes. I think she sent us the one for the Super Bowl already, so I'll put it up there when I remember, because now everyone's making me do all this site work stuff, so... Hooray.
Oh, no!
Yeah. And to spell Danny's last name, look at your keyboard and just use half the keys, and you'll be spelling it.
Yeah, this is the directions for spelling Danny's name. Put your nose on S, push your face down, and then roll.
You'll also catch in all those dashes and ampersands
you might tab too. But it'll be closer than you would get just trying to honestly make an effort.
Alright, so that is the end of this stuff segment. If you want to write into us about anything, it doesn't have to be suggestions or anything like that, or if you want to write in on stuff about the list that we go over or suggest a list to us, go ahead and email us at feedback@s-words-podcast.com. Don't forget, we also have the website, www.s-words-podcast.com. You can find all the usual information and all that other stuff we usually put up there, like episodes and schedules.
And soon transcripts.
And soon transcripts. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
Also, don't forget to catch us on Twitter, twitter.com/s_words, where you can... find out what Dom's talking about with Australians every week and reply to him telling him what are you talking about.
Smack Talk Saturdays, I'm going to start calling them, where I just insult Australians.
No. He's not doing that.
I'm not doing that.
All right, and that's pretty much it. We are getting the pins ready. Kevin has to get off his lazy ass and finish up the designs and start contacting the distributor. And we should have them done by probably the end of May, so we'll start distributing them then. I'm sorry I didn't have them ready for ASEN, but... we're not going to ASEN anyways.
Yeah.
Would have sent them along with the 3-panel soul vote. But
all right.
I don't have them yet. Yeah. So. All right. So that rounds up the episode. Why don't we go into a quote sound off? Man, I hope I remember my quote. Dom, don't start yet. Start now.
Australia, America, Australia, America, Australia. We don't put up with that kind of crap in America, sir.
Don't make me wild like you.
That's not a knife. Now that's a knife. That's a spoon.
I see you played knifey spoony before.
Yeah.
Do you want to go to a Tool concert? Tool concerts with Chris. Toolconcertswithchris.com.
That's our commercial. Are you serious?
Did you hear him? He said, "Go with me."
Get to the tool concert. Do it now.
No, you know you want to.